grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Amen. Tonight, or I should say this morning, I'm on Las Vegas time. It's always day down there. Psalm 55, selected verses. When you go home, just kind of open it up and read Psalm 55. You'll understand the whole context of that I'm speaking from. The hard question today is, why doesn't prayer work? The other night for supper, I dug into the freezer. Personal thing going on here. I dug into the freezer and I found a nice frozen meal from Trader Joe's. So I popped it in the microwave, and 3 minutes and 47 seconds later, guess what? A nice warm meal, just like that. Then I wanted to listen to music, so I got out my smartphone. Instant music, just like that. Kind I like to hear. And then after that, I thought, well, I'd kind of figure out what the kids are doing. So again, I pulled out my good old smartphone. And within a few moments, I had text messages from my kids. You know, we've come to expect such convenience. And we sometimes get frustrated, maybe even discouraged, when things just don't work the way that they're supposed to work. Isn't that true? Sure. Now, being conditioned to such expectations of convenience, we sometimes drift into the thinking that our prayers ought to work the same way. For example, we fold our hands. This is how I pray, because it's the way I was taught. Fold our hands, we bow our head, and we close our eyes, and we give a few to God. And then we're kind of half expecting a text message back from him within, you know, say, 22 seconds or something like that, right? Instant answer, just like that. Now, when that can get us a little frustrated, but you know what really gets to me, maybe it does to you, is that when I've prayed the same prayer over and over and over again. And sometimes they are so fervent, it's like an internet connection to God. And there's no answer, or what appears to me, no answer. And that's the time, and maybe to you too, where this hard question really comes into play, into focus. Why doesn't prayer work? As I studied this text, it led me to ask two questions. First of all, our expectations. What are our expectations in prayer? Is it something like, well, God, I talked to you, and that's all I should have to do, and therefore, you know, I deserve an answer right now, and exactly the way that I wanted it to be? Expectation. Another thing might be, is do we understand in our prayers what God wants us to understand about prayer? If you look at the screen up above there we go. Psalm 55. It's King David who wrote this psalm, and he was a man after God's own heart. There's nobody else that is spoken of that way in the scripture, a man after God's heart, so he's very special, but he had the same kind of issues going on. Why doesn't prayer work? In David's case, it was about his kingly duties, you know, and about his enemies. His enemies being outside the kingdom, his kingdom, you know, the ones that wanted to come in and take over his kingdom, or inside, all that internal ferment that would go on, people who would want to be king, and maybe even some friends and families thrown in for good measure. Our king, our prayers are not about kingly worries, but they certainly are similar. Every Sunday, you're asked to write down on your prayer request various requests, and then on Monday morning, it's taken into the office, and they're kind of sorted and entered into the computer and sent off to the prayer team, and then there are some special ones that are reserved for my eyes only. And we take the time to pray about them. And as you look at the prayers, it's about the same things pretty much over and over again, and sometimes from the very same person if their name is down there. It can be about healings, children, comfort, health concerns and needs, for work, employment, personal challenges. It's you know. Well, look up at the screen, and let David's words, really the Holy Spirit's words, kind of just find home in your heart. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught. It sounds as if David had asked God the same question or gave to God the same prayer any number of times over. And he's gotten past this wanting to have an answer and into the demanding, because I believe, as you read the psalm, David was desperate. His back was against the wall. He didn't know which way to turn. And he doesn't say it, but he certainly leaves the impression there of saying, God, why isn't this prayer working for me? And so he continues, my heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. In other words, he just wants to get away from everything. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter far from the tempest and storm. So whether assailed by spiritual, emotional, mental, or physical things, or if the world around us seems to be falling apart faster than we can put it back together, we've all been at that place with David. Why doesn't prayer work? And like David, we are stand there in anguish and terror, fear and trembling and horror, running away from the problem, feeling all alone and all exposed. The old Lutheran proverb, and I believe that it's Lutheran because a Lutheran told me this. Well, he did. The old Lutheran proverb, and this was supposed to bring me comfort because it was one of those times where I was questioning about my prayer. I was supposed to comfort me. He says, well, this is the way that God answers things. And I thought, I'm going to wait for some great enlightenment now. And he says, the Lord always answers with yes, no, and maybe. And I thought, wow. And after any number of years having heard that, I've added one more in my wisdom, and that's wait. Wait. Okay. But you know, I don't think the Lord really answers prayers in that way. And I do know this for sure, is that in our prayers, he uses that so that we have a better understanding of our prayers. And that's how we grow in our Lord. Consider for a moment the prayer that our Lord taught us. Now, when I stand here and you offer the prayer, you know, we do it by memory. We offer, you know, sometimes this or that particular petition grabs us and really makes us stop and think about things. But think about petitions 2, 3, and 4. You know which ones I'm talking about, right? Yeah. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And Lutherans always say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We always pause. And give us this day our daily bread. Now, what are you doing when you are praying that? You're taking everything that's in here and you're ripping it out of your heart and you're saying, here, God. You're letting go of all that is in there and saying, God, it's yours. Because we've heard what God says. He says, give that all to me. Your worries, your hurts, your despair, your disappointments, your plans, your dreams, and your hopes, and let me take care of it. The other day, I was in Las Vegas on my little bit of a break there, and as I came off of 15, we go across Craig Road, there, and my wife looked up and she said, hey, look at those balloons. And there were four balloons. They were heart-shaped, you know, and they were red. and they were just kind of floating up that way. And there were three that were filled up with helium, and one that was kind of half filled and sort of like that, you know. It was just sort of flopped over. And I looked up that, and I thought, you know, that's the way it is with my prayers. I'm the flopped over guy. But here's the ones that really take care of me. My Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't see that in the balloons, you know. But I thought, here's my Father who receives my prayers. Here's the Son who takes them up as an offering to my Father. And here's the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who carries those prayers to my Father in heaven. And you know what happened at that moment? Because there was a lot on my mind as I was driving, I suddenly felt this sense of release. And with that release came this sense of freedom. All those burdens that I had taken upon myself, I was now given them to God. And now He was in control of them. And with that freedom, there is a great diminishing in my anxiety and my worrying and my desperation. And I truly began to enjoy waiting on God, because every time He answers a prayer, it's like a little surprise. And the surprises are always far better than I could have ever asked for. Now, when David got over his grumblings and also his doubt about, he came back to this place of understanding. Prayer rising to heaven, prayers that inside of them hold everything that's burdening our hearts, everything we want or need, everything that is on our heart, to Him we give it, and He takes it off of our hearts, so there is that freedom and there's that release. And then we go about our business every day. And our business, whether no matter where we are in our life, is pretty much the same as it's summarized by King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a life that's almost carefree, because God is the one is taking care of us. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 2, "I perceived that there is nothing better for the people than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their work. This is God's gift to man." So David says, and we'll get into our next slide. There we go. Thank you. "But I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress." That's the way our prayers get to be after a while, isn't it? I mean, when aren't we praying? You stop and think about that. We're praying virtually all the time. "Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and He hears my voice. Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall." One of your church family wrote on the little prayer sheet, it wasn't a prayer, it was just a comment. It says, "Thank you for your prayers. Prayer works. Please keep on praying." And that kind of summarizes what David is writing here. God saves us. The Lord listens to our voice. The shepherd cares for us and won't let us fall. And the Spirit sustains us. Such freedom, because prayer works. Now, I'm going to let you in on a little secret of why, from time to time, you ask yourself, why doesn't this or my prayer work? Well, good old Satan, he whispers, "Why would God listen to you?" Or he might say, "You aren't worth listening to. You. You don't have anything to say." And to him, we can say with a sharp rebuke, "Go to hell, Satan." Right? And that's the right thing to say to him, because that's where he belongs. And we can also say to him, "You know, I'm God's child, and I'm not your target." You know, the world says God is dead. It isn't worth it to believe in God. God can't help anyone. Why bother? And to the world we can say, you who are stuck in the darkness of sin and death and evil are telling me what to believe. I walk in the light. I am God's child. Our sinful flesh that we walk with every day messes with our mind and messes with our hearts, right? Ask questions like, well, when was the last time God gave you what you wanted? Or, I don't think God's going to listen to you. You're such a miserable and rotten sinner you are. And you don't believe that? Well, just think of that, those favorite sins that you have and how many times you've done the same sin over and over again. And my answer is, well, watch what happens when I fall on my knees to my Father and I cry out for His mercy and His forgiveness. You're going to be dead. You will have no more power over me. For my Father has loved me with an everlasting love. His Son, my Savior, died for my very last sin that I sinned before I die. And the Holy Spirit, my helper, brings me forgiveness and life and hope. Let us believe then what James writes, because this is who we are. We are righteous people before God. God is the one who has made us righteous through what Jesus has done. And that prayer is this, or this announcement is this: the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And we stand with David as he closes this psalm when he says, but as for me, I trust in you. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.